All right, so tonight we have Jeremiah 36. All right, so if you'll find that in your Bible. So this is King Jehoiakim. I mentioned him to you last week. He didn't really figure into the actual story last week, but today he does. This is a brazen act of disregard for God's word, God's will. This might be one of the top five most defiant things done in the Bible by anybody. Let's get started, right? Chapter 36 of Jeremiah. Right, it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, right, take a scroll, right, scroll of a book, and write on it, right, look at this, all the words that I spoke to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I first spoke to you, in the days of Josiah, even to this day. So that's 23 years of Jeremiah's prophesying. So you remember that in this chapter, we backed up a king from the last king. Okay, Zedekiah is the last king. That's this man's brother. This is his predecessor, Jehoiakim. Okay, they have the same dad, Josiah. By the time Jerusalem eventually falls, Jeremiah will have been prophesying for 40 or 41 years. So this incident here today is about 15 years before the Babylonians come and lay siege. The siege lasts about 2 years. So this is about 17 years before the very end. Okay, but this incident here is definitely a turning point for the worse, for the city. All right, so write on all the words, okay, and the point is I want you to go and have them read to the people. So verse 3, it may be, okay, so here's the Lord being patient, right? Maybe if I, have you read my people all my words, maybe there'll be a response. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, which if they do, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, okay? So you write down everything I've said to you, and the purpose is, at least the immediate purpose, there's a long-term purpose too, but the immediate purpose is go read it to the people in public in the temple court. I want Judah to hear this. Okay, and then not just hear, but turn, repent, right? If they turn, I will forgive. Okay, and that's God's long-suffering, God's patience. Even now, right, even at this late date, turn to me. All right, so Jeremiah did what he was told, verse 4. He called Baruch, the son of Neriah. Baruch wrote on a scroll of a book at the instruction of Jeremiah. Okay, instruction maybe isn't the right word. Dictation is a better word. Okay, literally says from Jeremiah's mouth. Okay, he wrote from Jeremiah's mouth. So I say the words, you write the words. Right? You don't invent things, you don't editorialize, you just, what I say, you write. All the words of the Lord, okay, they're not Jeremiah's words, they're words of the Lord, which he, capital H, he, God, had spoken to him, Jeremiah. So, even though we met Baruch a couple chapters ago, this is chronologically first. So this is the first time you meet Baruch. So that other thing that we had a couple chapters ago takes place later than this. So he becomes Jeremiah's scribe. Okay, so the Lord, here's the chain of custody of the words. The words originate with God. God tells them to Jeremiah. Jeremiah speaks them. Baruch hears them and writes it word for word. Okay, Jeremiah, verse 5, Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am, confined is the wrong word, because he's not in prison, but banned or something. I'm restricted. I'm not allowed to go into the house of the Lord. So you go, therefore, and, take the scroll, read from the scroll which you have written at my dictation, the words of the Lord in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house, on the day of fasting. Okay, so there is some sort of, religious occasion going on here, a day of fasting. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come in from their city. So there's some big religious gathering in the temple. It may be, right, hoping against hope, right, it may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, right, ask for repentance, and that everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him. He went and read from the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Okay, so it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord. This is very interesting. You know, this is an idolatrous, rebellious people, but they still have their sort of, you know, Yahweh-related fast days. They proclaimed a fast to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. And Baruch did as he was instructed. He read from the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Remember last week we talked about the chambers, right? So in the chamber of Gemariah, son of Shaphan the scribe, in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the hearing of all the people. So, you know, imagine him like up on a balcony or in a window or something and talking. And he's not preaching off the cuff. You follow me? He's reading these words. Like, God gave him the words. I wrote these words. Here's, okay? He's not making anything up. So you notice, nothing at all is said to indicate that the people responded, you know, that they were smitten in the heart, that they repented, or that they turned from their sins. Which, you know, to me this is amazing and quite telling, actually. You're going literally to the house of the Lord. Okay, you're making a journey from out of town to come to Jerusalem, and you're going specifically in response to a call for a fast day, which, you know, is supposedly a day for humbling yourself before the Lord. Here at the temple is the man delivering literally God's words to you right now. Like, not just old words. These are for you. You people right here, right now. And yet there's no action taken. There's no response. There's no soul searching. There's no change. Okay, this is, I mean, that is dullness. Okay, it's really quite amazing. Okay, like Jesus said, you people have ears, you don't hear. It's like, why even have ears if you're not going to hear? Okay, you came here because there was a day of fasting declared. You came because you felt obligated, you know, but when the literal words of God are spoken to you, urging you to repent because God is planning to judge this city, that just goes right through you. Okay, no effect, no change. Okay, now if you've been here for any of our study of Jeremiah, you know that this is the story. Like, God has pleaded with them. Like, I've sent you my prophet again and again, but you haven't turned. You just get worse and worse. Okay, so he's up there reading, right? Baruch read the words in the hearing of the people. So verse 11, what happens? When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, son of Shaphan. So Gemariah is the guy whose chamber it is. So this is his son. When he heard all the words of the Lord from the book, he then went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber, and there were all the princes sitting, and princes not meaning like the royal sons. This is like nobles, you know, other officials. So not literally the king's sons, but Elishama the scribe, Delaiah the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan the son of Akbor, Gemariah, the guy with the room, the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Micaiah reported to them all the words that he had heard when Baruch was reading the book in the hearing of the people. Okay, so if you want to know roughly what those words are, I would say take about the first 20 or 25 chapters of Jeremiah. You know how that part of the book is. It's the word of the Lord. He is preparing a calamity to come on the city. You know, if they don't give up their idolatry and their wickedness, here's Nebuchadnezzar. Like, he's basically waiting in the wings. Like, the fourth year of Jehoiakim is the first year that Nebuchadnezzar was king. Okay, so he's up there consolidating his power. He's got this giant army. Like, the Lord could either send them right down through you, or he could send them the other way. That's on you. You know, you decide how you want it. Okay, and that's, you know, that's how the Lord has been speaking to the people through the prophet all this time. So this is what the kind of thing that Baruch is reading. Okay, the words are meant to be alarming, right? These people are dull. The Lord's trying to shake them out of their spiritual sleepiness. Okay, it's like Saul. You know, the Lord is trying to stop them short. You know, you're going to your destruction. If you keep going this way, you're gonna be gone. Okay, it's God's will to bless, but you have to turn, right? If you spurn me, it's going to be destruction. So, you know, the man goes and tells him, oh, Baruch's up there reading all this stuff. It sounds very threatening. So verse 14, therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, to Baruch, saying, Okay, take your scroll, take in your hand the scroll from which you have read in the hearing of the people, and come. Right, you come with me. I'm going to get the feel for that scene. You come with me, right? So Baruch, son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and came to them, and they said to him, sit down now and read that in our hearing. So he read it in their hearing. Now it happened, when they had heard all the words, they looked, right, in consternation, right, looked in fear from one to another, and said to Baruch, we surely must tell the king about this. Right, it sounds important for the king to hear this. So they asked, you know, where'd these words come from? They asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how did you write all these words? Was it at his instruction? Right? Was it at Jeremiah's dictation? So he answered them, basically, yes. You know, he proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the book. The princess said to Baruch, you better go and hide, right? You and Jeremiah, let no one know where you are. So it sounds like they at least show some kind of degree of concern for him, you know, and rightly so. You know, you, like I said, you read the first 20 or so chapters of Jeremiah, you can tell this is serious business. You know, God's not playing games. So, you know, imagine though, like to us, this is an ancient book. Imagine if this stuff is being preached to your nation right now. Okay, it's very alarming. It's not 2,500 years old. Like, this is happening this week, right? So God's threats are imminent. So it's important, you know, I think the king needs to hear about this. So, you know, you guys better watch out, because I think they know that what kind of a man the king is. So 20, they went to the king into the court, but the scroll they stashed for now. They stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and they reported all the words in the hearing of the king. So the king sent the same guy, Jehudi, to bring the scroll. Like, I want to hear exactly what it says. And he took it from Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it, you know, in the hearing of the king, and the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month. All right, ninth month for the Hebrew calendar is November, December. So it's cold. Okay, and there's a fire burning on the hearth before him. So when it happened, when Jehudi had read three or four columns, that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until this takes time, right? Until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth, right? So imagine, like, start with Jeremiah 1 and read through, like, just Jeremiah 20 or 25, you know, read all of that. And then every time you get done with a page, you know, rip the page out and throw. It'll take 45 minutes. All right, what did I say? Until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. 24, yet they were not afraid. Right? They didn't fear God, nor did they rend their garments. You know, that would be some kind of a show of repentance or grief. Neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all the words. Nevertheless, okay, you had these few servants, Elnathan, Deliah and Gemariah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiah, the king's son, Sariah, son of Azrael, Shelemiah, the son of Abdael, to go arrest him, right? Seize Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Okay, so, you know, those guys said, I think we know what's going to happen to you, so go hide. So, and they weren't found. All right, so, you know, just think about what a cold, callous response this is to hearing the Lord's words read to you. You know, here's God saying, you know, I beg you, give me your hearts, right? Come back to my covenant. You know, abandon your false gods, abandon your, you know, your crime, your corruption, your, you know, oppression the poor, your prostitution with other gods, and I am going to send the whirlwind on you if you don't. And you take out your knife and you cut the thing and that's what I think of that. Okay, it's absolute contempt. Like I said, you know, this is one of the most high-handed, but it's so cold-blooded, right? Shows what you think of the Lord. It shows what you think of godliness. It shows what you think, you know, that you think God is weak. You know, he's not going to do anything. This is a joke. You know, really, it's harder for me to think of a more arrogant, scornful way that a person can reply to God's word. In this case, you know, like I said, it's not an old book. This is literally God's words to you this week, you know, right now, to your nation, to you, Your Majesty. Okay? So I think this chapter is placed here because this is like a preface to the rest of the book. You know, from here on out, the city is doomed. You know, the Chaldeans come and lay siege. Pretty soon the city is taken. The people are going to be killed or dragged off. And whoever's left is left just like in a heap of ruins. And, you know, what else are you going to do now when the, you know, this is, you have this kind of hardness of heart. Okay, but like I said, chronologically, it's still like 15 more years out until the siege comes. But, you know, here's the king's complete disregard for God's commands. Okay, well, many, many people have learned down through the centuries that you can attack and burn and purge copies of the Word of God, and you can persecute, you know, preachers of the Word of God and printers of the Word of God and translators of the Word of God, but the Word of God stands forever anyway. Okay, and you are deluding yourself if you think that you can just so flippantly cancel God's decrees or negate his will just by some petty act of, you know, violence like this. Okay, he's like, well, so much for that. You know, so here's what I think about that. Okay, but look, verse 27. After the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch had written at the mouth of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, right, take yet another scroll and write on it all the former words that were on the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, like God forgot what he said, you know, just write all the words that were in the first scroll that the king of Judah has burned. And you shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus says the Lord, that you have burned the scroll, saying, and his brother will say this again later, why do you say such things, right? Why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Okay, do you remember a few chapters ago, Jeremiah was wearing a yoke, right? And the other false prophet came and smashed the yoke off him and broke it in pieces. And God said to him, well, you think you broke a yoke of wood, but I'm going to replace it with a yoke of iron. Okay, you just made it worse for yourself. Okay, so 30, therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, right, he's done, right? He shall have no one, right, no descendant, to sit on the throne of David. Okay, I'm rejecting you as king, like he said, like the Lord said to the first Saul, right? Because you rejected me, I'm rejecting you as king. And his dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and the frost of the night. And I will punish him, his family, and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring on them and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem and on the men of Judah all the doom that I have pronounced against them, but they did not heed. So that's the word, is they're heedless. Okay, and really it's a gross insult to the Lord to act as if he's not going to back up his words with actions. You know, remember the Pharaoh saying, well, who's Jehovah that I should, you know, listen to him or I should fear him? Okay, I don't care about him, you know, and you're calling him a liar. You're calling him a wimp and a weakling. Okay, now I don't know if you would say this in so many words, but that's really what you're doing, right? You're laughing in the Lord's face. You're shrugging him off. So I'd look to see that happen, you know, good one. Okay, one more verse. Jeremiah took another scroll, gave it to Baruch the scribe, son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And besides, there were added to them many similar words. That's kind of ominous. Okay, so, you know, one thing that I think it's very necessary for us as disciples to digest, you know, it has to do with the nature of the Bible, particularly in this case, the prophets. But it does extend to the whole of the volume. You know, these words are literally from God. Okay, they're words that he imparted to his servants to relay and to be preserved for his people. Okay, you might think this goes without saying, but this incident makes it very clear that the book of Jeremiah is not just the collection of, you know, the preachings of a righteous man, you know, stuff that he, you know, just sort of came up with out of his own heart. The literal source of the words is from God himself. Hey, how did you come by these words, Baruch? Are you writing a memoir? You know, I once knew this famous prophet and here's the things that he said. Are you just kind of going by memory? Okay, no, he said the words. I sat there and I wrote exactly what he said. Okay, write down in a book all the words that I spoke to you starting from the first day I started speaking to you back in the day of Josiah up till now. So Peter says, it's in 2 Peter, he says this about the written word. No prophecy of Scripture had its origin in the mind of a man. Okay, this is not stuff that men just come up with. Rather, holy men of God spoke as the Lord himself, right, as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Paul says that Scripture is breathed out by God. Okay, and in theology they use the word inspired, but it means something much more than the common way we use the word inspired. Like some guy was very clever and he had a great idea, I was inspired. No, no. When we read the Bible, we're reading words that the Spirit of God imparted to, you know, some chosen author, a prophet, or an apostle, okay, which means that we really need to take the Bible seriously. We must take the Bible seriously and pay heed and treat these words with kid gloves, you know, with the utmost reverence and attention, okay? God is not kidding around with us, right? When we read in these pages his commandments, when we read about his summoning us to repentance, godly living, when we read about the mercy that he shows us in his son and only in his son, this is not stuff that's up for discussion. It's not subject to your veto or your editorializing or selective obedience. You follow me? Okay, this is not just a collection of religious opinions. It's God's revelation. And, you know, it seems to me that worldwide, man's great sin of ignorance and arrogance is that we don't heed his words. Okay, it's not that we don't have his words. We have them. We don't heed them. Okay, here's the fellow. He's standing up there. He's reading them out, like literally right out of the book. And it says they were not afraid. They didn't, you know, they weren't struck to the heart. They didn't tear their garments. Okay, the thing about tearing their garments recalls this man's dad, Josiah. Okay, remember Josiah. The temple was closed. It was shut up. It was full of idols and stuff. And Josiah said, you know what, we've got to have a reform in this nation. They cleared out all the idols, all the trash, and they came. So we found a book. You know, we found a book in the temple. And they read the book and they said, oh, my goodness, you know, we better go tell the king. And so same story as here. They came and read the words to the king and the king says, tore his garments, right? He feared the Lord, right? The exact opposite of what his son did. Okay, and these guys' dads, some of these guys' dads were there. This Shaphan, Achbor, you know, they were all in that scene. Okay, Josiah was afraid and he said, his response was, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people of Judah regarding the words of this book that's been found, because great is the wrath of the Lord that's aroused against us, because our fathers haven't obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written. Okay, that's the correct attitude toward these words. They're God's words. And God is a being who will not fail to follow up his words with actions. Hey, am I a man that I should lie? Right? Do I promise to do a thing and then not do it? You know how Jesus said it would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for a single word of the Lord to fail. Okay, he said the Scripture cannot be broken, the things that are written. Okay, so if the Scripture cannot be broken, and if the Word of God can't be defied, how foolish and arrogant is it to be so heedless? Okay. However, every week, church after church, including ours, you have the same kind of sin reenacted. You know, here's what we're having the solemn occasion, right? People apparently understand they have an obligation to be here for it because it's the holy day, it's the house of the Lord, and so they go. And like literally the very words of God are spoken, they're read right out of the book, but do the listeners heed it? That's where all the difference is. Okay, when God says, forsake your sin and be transformed, right? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, right? Live as children of light, and so on, and so on, and so on. But change is not made, right? Sin continues, selfishness continues, immorality continues. I don't think any of you would be so brazen as to actually, you know, tear up the Bible and throw it in the fire. But the effect is the same, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, if you don't pay heed to it, if you don't let the Spirit bring your spirit into conformity with God's will, you've really just done the same thing that he did, only less dramatically. Right? The words are not worth my attention. They don't deserve my obedience. I'm just going to keep on doing as I was doing. Well, you might as well put it in the trash then, I guess. What's it for? Okay, so you remember the last chapter where God said, I notice that the words of a man are, you know, very diligently obeyed, but my words are ignored. Okay, Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 58, right? God says, I look at these people, he says, time after time they come into my house to seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways. They seem eager for God to come near them. And they say, why do we go on fasting and God doesn't notice us? Okay, I go to the temple, why doesn't he do his part of the bargain? Okay, well, he says, it's because you ignore my words. Okay, you fast, you come to the temple, but as far as doing, you know, you do as you please, right? He says, you exploit your brothers, you quarrel and fight. Is this the kind of worship I'm looking for from you? Don't you think I want you to love your neighbor, to share your goods, to comfort one another, to take care of the weak and the weary, right? To bind your hearts together in the ties of Christian love. You can't go on doing what you're doing and expect your voice to be heard in heaven. Okay, so consider what a very great treasure this is that you are privileged to own, that the Lord has seen to it that his words have been preserved for us. You know, people have tried to stamp it out and hinder it and destroy it, but you can't fight against God. His word always is going to stand. He's never going to let the light of his word go out of the world. You could consider yourself very privileged to own your own personal copy of it, multiple copies most likely. You have to use it, right? If you don't use it, why do you own it, right? Come and listen to it get explained, but don't just stop there, right? Don't just listen to the man talk. You have to do, right? Jehoiakim heard the words too, but he thought it was all a big joke, right? You have to do the words of the Lord, okay? It's a very important book to your spiritual life and your well-being. Here's God talking, okay? We still have Jeremiah's words, okay? God preserved them for us all the way, like all him and all the other prophets and apostles. It's useless to have them if you don't heed them, right? What's going to happen to those who don't heed them? Right, like Jehoiakim, just wave it away. I know it's the Bible. Honestly, I just, you know, I don't feel that obligated to do what it says. Okay, well, he says in here, what's going to happen to people who ignore his words? Weeping and gnashing of teeth, outer darkness, right? Shame and everlasting contempt. Okay, the kind of thing he said about Jehoiakim. Right? You understand, we're dealing with a living being, and an all-powerful living being. We're not just dealing with a paper character in a book. You know, a paper tiger, you know, crumple him up and throw him away and now he's powerless, he can't do anything. No, you are dealing with the living God. So don't leave the book closed, and don't just read the book, do what it says, okay? We're not dealing with a fictional God. They are wonderful words of life, aren't they? Okay, don't just read them, heed them. You pick the song, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So you may not realize just what a treasure it is that you possess. Don't waste it, okay? You use it, listen to it, let it search through your heart, let it uncover the dirty things and the unclean things, and let God change you and purify you, okay? Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong deliverances from death. But God will wound the heads of his enemies and the hairy crown of him who goes on in his trespasses. Okay, that's the word of the Lord. Let's all pay very close attention to it and do as our Lord instructs. All right, with that, let's pray. Ask for his mercy. Heavenly Father, thank you for direct words. We pray, dear Father, that your little ones here would fear you, the true and living God, but that we would love you, Lord. We know that you sent your Son to redeem us from our sin, to take away the threat of damnation and judgment. Lord Jesus, how can we ever stop thanking you for taking our judgment upon yourself, Lord? You didn't deserve a bit of it. It's we who are failures and disappointments and sinners and cruel and selfish. And yet, you've laid hold of us, Lord. You didn't let us go down to destruction. You've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us a new lease on life. You've shown us good things, Father, a better way to live, a kingdom of God to live for. So help us, dear Father, to grow richly in your word, to sing your praises, Lord Jesus, to always be grateful for what you've done in saving us, and help us to represent you well, Lord, in a world that is dying and going astray, so that they too might come to know you and be saved and be filled with the joy of your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.